I clearly think Roddy's one of the best receivers in the game. I mean, he has size, speed, excellent ability to go get the football in tight spaces. He's had an incredible year down there, and it has really been has really come into his own the last couple of years. So, special player.
Mike, how did you handle him the first game when you assess his numbers? They weren't his customary numbers. Were you able to do that with one guy, or did you have to focus a lot of stuff on him?
Well, the biggest thing for their offense in the first game was they were able to stay in favorable down and distance. So it was not an aerial show where he was given a lot of opportunities. So, but we feel good the way we match up, and we'll go about it accordingly. It's important for us to stop the run and make sure that we're playing in favorable down and distances.
Mike, how have you seen Tremont develop since 2007, and what has kind of allowed him to take this step this year now to being a real elite corner? Is it film study? Is it what is it?
Well, he's been a young developing player, and you just watched him come into his own, just as he's moved forward. I mean, he arrived with talent. I mean, he's always been a very talented individual, and he's just really a testament to hard work and staying the course. Very consistent personality, very consistent in his work ethic, very consistent in his approach. So I think playing in the old system helped him learn, bumping around man-to-man skills, and was able to develop that part of his game, and now playing in our new system of defense, the ability to play with vision and using that ability to break on the ball. Tackling was an emphasis for him coming from last year to this year, and he's definitely improved in that area. So very coachable, works very hard at his craft, and he's a product of talent, consistency, and hard work.
Mike, what have you learned about Tom Capers working with him the last 2 years, and has having a strong guy in that position help you focus on the offense?
Well, just the way we're structured as a staff, you have to have a defensive coordinator that, A, has total command of the assistant coaches, because that's where it starts. It doesn't start when you get into the classroom. It starts up on the third floor, pulling assistants together, teaching them the scheme, make sure everybody's on the same page. And Don does an excellent job of that. So, and then obviously taking it to the next step, and that's with the players. He's been doing it so long, very detailed, knows exactly what he's looking for. And I think that's really the true mark of an excellent coach. You have the vision, and staying true to that vision, and make sure you don't get off the path to accomplish what you want. And I just think the success we've had in the 2 years is a big credit to Don.
Mike, is there some concern with Ryan Pickett where he was downgraded today?
Ryan Pickett's fine. It's just we're in a little bit of a different week. I know everybody understands it. Just the workload of some of the older players, just calculating what personnel groups we anticipate playing in, and just getting the proper reps needed.
Mike, what challenges does Tony Gonzalez present to the defense?
Well, Tony's he's a prime time player, and he's been a player that he's a mismatch on a linebacker, and for quite some time was mismatch on most of the safeties in the league. So he plays with excellent body position. He's has the ability to separate. Having an opportunity around him in the beginning of his career, I appreciate all the hard work he's put into his craft, and he's definitely one of their big targets. So Tony's a potential Hall of Fame type tight end in my opinion. So he's done it a long time. He's done it at a very high level.
Mike, could you kind of tell today in practice how his legs were?
I'm sorry.
How the players' legs?
Players'
were,
legs?
Where they were, in terms of rest and that kind of stuff.
We'll be fine. I think our players are, I know it's Thursday on their body, but we also have 56 hours from the time we walked off the field until the time we play in the game. So we have a plan for the next 56 hours to make sure they're ready to go. The practice reps have been cut way back. We were able to get in the full complement of offense, defense, and special teams, the game plans. I thought we were very smart with them from a physical standpoint, and their rest and recovery is intact, and we'll be ready to go Saturday night.
Mike,
Has the emergence of Desmond Bishop this season surprised you at all?
Oh, I don't think anybody's surprised about Desmond Bishop. Desmond's a football player, very instinctive, tough football player that really every opportunity he's been given, he's taken full advantage of, and that's no different with the last one of being a starter. So been very productive all the way throughout his career, but I'm very happy for him personally, and he's earned everything that he's accomplished so far.
Mike, you play in a place as loud and noisy as the Georgia Dome. Does that affect the way you make your calls on offense?
How I make my calls?
Yeah, how you
do. No, I don't think so. It doesn't affect the way you call the game. I mean, you really stay focused on the matchups. The communication part of it is it really goes back to your training, the way you install your offense, and how much time you dedicate to communication in noisy places. You know, playing in Minnesota every year and playing in Detroit. You know, we have two games every year that are going to be in domes that are very loud. So. We spend a lot of time at that, and I think we do a very good job with it.
What do you rank the dome as far as all the domes you play at Georgia Dome as far as noise?
Well, I mean, Minnesota's probably, I think if you went around the league with it, people would say that's probably the loudest, my personal experience was probably the Superdome, New Orleans. I just remember we won the first playoff game down there. I've never heard anything like that, but the Georgia Dome definitely they've done an excellent job with their game day, just in the last 10 years really, since Mr. Blank has taken over. I mean, he's added a different dimension to their game that I recall from prior years. So they're all loud. I mean, I don't know how you measure them, but I think it's just based off of opinion, but it's loud.
Thank you. You mentioned earlier in the week that you've had the same punt team together now for 3 weeks. Is that, I usually write them down, is that been the case for the kickoff coverage team too, mostly, and mostly intact, or?
Pretty much. It's, it depends on, I mean, the biggest thing as far as having the exact same people line up is not as big as the issue. It's having an individual do the same techniques, asking them to do the same thing based on how we play in a punt protection or how we cover. And kickoff coverage. So that's the consistency that I'm really referring to. So when you have to move guys around and play a player that normally is better as an R3 and it has to be an R5 because of, and that's where I think the experience level is not where you like it to be. So, but just remember, our biggest issue has been health, and that's we've been moving guys around, and that has not been the case the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I'm just wondering, because on the kickoff return that they had at the end of that game, you were down a bunch of guys. I think Chiller got hurt. And, I know you wouldn't use it as an excuse necessarily, but was that at some level an issue that you had kind of a jumbled mess at the end of the game?
Yeah, it's over. There's a number of games that we had. Where we had injuries during the game that you wish you would have handled differently or better, but we had a good call as far as the coverage we had for the return. We just didn't execute as well we should.
Mike, in reviewing the end of that Eagle game, do you think at the end of the half, in looking back at it, you should have used one of your timeouts before their field goal?
No, but before their field goal?
Right.
No, I don't think so. But, they were playing with the wind. That's something that you're factoring in there too. I knew I was getting the ball at the beginning of the second half, and then when we did get the ball, I mean, from a time standpoint, we set up the shot play that we didn't convert, and then when we had to delay a game, that's when I felt that we needed to just get to the half. The field goal by Akers earlier in the game, the 40, there was a lot of wind in that end zone, so just based on calculating risk there. Felt it was best just to go into the half after we missed the shot play that we had and come back out 14-3.
Mike, based on what you've talked with Ted and whatever, are you pretty satisfied everything's okay with the replay situation? When you go there, you have to...
I'm not worried about it.
How would you describe the mindset of the team?
Confident, ready to go. Looking forward to Saturday night.